Check.
Continuous jury?
Yeah.
Well, we modeled it after Will County. I'm not sure how many other counties are doing it.
So mostly collar counties.
Well, the collar counties, because of the population, are running trials all the time. We did a modification of what Will County does.
Is Wayne County doing it?
No. And Vermillion County brings jurors in four times a year. They do the same thing the rural counties do.
No crimes?
Not according to what I read in the paper. But they only have their jury term every 3 months. I don't know how they do that. But I've also, because of budget constraints, I've cut some weeks out of the jury term now. Simply to save money.
No, I'm going to get myself
together. So it's even a more modified continuous jury.
Well, Gamble's just the size of Urbana.
Beg your pardon?
Gamble's just the size of Urbana.
Right.
It's surrounded by all these bitsy towns.
Yeah.
Would it be easier to make a cut with the sinister versus the old way?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was a certain advantage there.
It was. Yeah, that did give us an advantage. But, you know, I'm cutting out the jury weeks where there's a holiday. You just go through that, and it's
Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, or Labor Day. pick the holiday, and that would be a 4 day trial term. You really can't get a whole lot done during that.
During Christmas and New Year's Eve.
No, we don't have trial jurors at all during that time.
That's a clarification.
So I guess we will move forward and call this meeting to order. Is it already running?
Yes, okay.
So today is Friday, July 10th, 2009. This is the Citizens Advisory for Jury Selection Committee. It's 5:30 p.m., Brookings Administrative Center, in the Jenny K. Putnam Meeting Room. All right. I guess we'll do a roll call here. Aaron Ammons, Chair, is here.
I know, but I just...
Go to the right here.
Roger Holland, Board Administrator, is present.
Tom DeFonis.
Joan Miller.
Brian Dolliner.
Barbara Kessel.
And Jenny Putman.
Okay. So I guess we move for an approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Weibel and second by?
Me, Barbara.
Barbara Kessel. And now I guess we can take a minute to read over the minutes. Did everybody get a vote? All in favor of the agenda?
Aye.
Ayes have it. There's a public participant here who's going to give me a hard time today. So now I guess we take a minute to read the minutes.
Let me make a comment.
Yes.
I did send these electronically to everyone who uses a computer.
And these are the revised version. This is the revised version here.
Okay. And in addition, both Professors Beckett and Gonzalez have submitted their corrections and additions.
Okay. Thank you.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Yeah.
Second by Judge DeFontes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Ayes. All opposed? Ayes have it.
Chair Arum, Chair
yes.
Abel, if I may comment.
Yes.
I like the fact that Jenny putting in CACGS suggests this. I think that in after the judge, you can easily compile all the judges that we support,
mm-hmm.
whether good or not. But I think that, you know, for a summary report, it'd be good to pull those out. So I like the way you're doing that.
Well, you put the suggest, CACJS suggests that the printed things that you said there, I thought it was pretty good too. It's helpful to kind of see what we're getting out of it and what sort of suggestions we can make. Are there any announcements or communications from anyone?
I have, maybe it's an inquiry. At the last meeting, Joan, one of the members said that you were moving.
I moved to Clark Lindsay.
Right.
Yeah.
So we should probably change our mailing address for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is the address?
You'll be right.
Well, no, I mean, probably. I don't recall the street address for Clark Lindsay.
You need just to write it to my phone number.
Sure.
To you.
Sure. I hope you're happily installed.
Thank you. I'm very happy.
Any other announcements? Communications? Judge DeFontes, you were just saying that you had to make some changes to the continuous jury?
I had to delete some jury weeks, the budget constraints. It would save we as much as maybe $2,500 a week if I don't have to bring jurors in. So I cut 10 weeks. Out of the jury term.
Okay. What's that, $25,000?
Well, it was halfway to where we had to come up with the budget that was requested. And as I was telling Pius, I started with the weeks where there are holidays, because mm-hmm. you're at a four-day week to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why we started that. And then, of course, around Christmas, New Year's, and obviously Thanksgiving, so we've cut back the number of weeks of jury trials.
How many weeks are left?
Probably 40. At least 35 or 40.
It's, yeah, I think it's yeah.
Probably 35.
Yeah,
35. And in the old days, we had 24 weeks, so we're still providing more.
It's basically a 20% reduction. 50 weeks,
so the word continuous means just that, right? Because I was trying to get a better understanding of how it works, but so it's down to 35 to maybe 40 weeks as opposed to 50.
Yes, right.
Okay. Any other announcements or communications?
Well, I would just like to thank Roger and Aaron. Thank you for securing everything but the names of people who've been summoned for jury duty. Thank you. Everything but the names.
Sure.
I
wish I could take credit for it, but it was actually our computer person, Kirk Bedwell, who put those together for us. So.
And I wish I could take credit for the suggestion, but it was actually Patrick's suggestion. So follow suit with who's getting credit for whatever, but appreciate it. And along that line, the one communication is that when Pius informed me when we got here that it was impossible to print all this stuff out.
Right.
We're talking how many pages you said?
1,300 plus pages.
1,300.
Yeah, when I looked at it, it was going to be 1,800. But I think I did it landscape.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you could probably save a little bit if you did that. But
you have to look at it on the screen.
Way too much. So
I think you want to try to get it down to a map.
Yeah,
I can ask around to see.
Now, what I've done, and I can make this, I'll make this available through the computer, is I went through, and this is not exactly scientific, but I have a list of major cities, and by major I mean probably down to as small as Bonneville, Dewey, Fisher, all the way up to Villa Grove, and which represents about 99.67% of all the summonses, and broke it down by city. Mm-hmm. So I don't have it by actual zip code, but I do have it by city. And again, there are a few outliers in there, so this may not be absolutely 100% correct, but it's pretty much what you would anticipate given the breakdown. For example, in Champaign, there were 11,579 summonses, which represent about 42.5% of all the summonses that we did in the last.
What was the total?
11,500.
What's our total for all the summonses?
27,249. Mm-hmm. Urbana was 6,058, or 22.23%, and Rantoul was 1,911, or a little over 7%. So if you add those three together of the major OCAS urban population, you get 19,548, or about a little over 70%, 71.74% of all the summonses were sent to those three communities. Muhammad also had almost 8%, and then it drops off pretty precipitously after that. So I will make this little chart available. I did it at the end of the... I did a sort based on the zip code, so I could and counted the ones that fell within the range. So, but it goes all the way from, like I said, Champaign at 42.49%, all the way down to Villa Grove, which had 0.05% or 14. And then there's actually 89, which fell into another category. If you looked at the addresses, some of them were sent to people obviously who had moved away, and some of them were also where they had the address and the name of the city didn't match. So there were some outliers. I didn't collect 89 total addresses out of the over 27,000, which is less than a third of a percent, were not counted among the ones that I did. But that gives you kind of an idea of where the different cities fell with the different summonses. Now, these were obviously the summonses that were sent, which means that these people had already filled out a questionnaire and sent it back, indicating their eligibility to serve. And then from that list, the summonses were sent.
Let's do the agenda piece here. Then we're going to come back and get into this discussion.
Right.
Any further announcements or communications? No. Okay. Moving on to number six, public participation. We do have someone who wants to participate publicly.
I just wanted to say...
you state your name and where you live.
Thank you. My name is Carol Ammons. I'm a county board member for District 5, and I have been following these meetings very closely, and am very happy that I have been educated so thoroughly about this process beyond what I ever knew. And personally have received my summons, so I'll be showing up myself.
Oh, really? That's good.
I actually received a questionnaire myself the other day. I will be in the pool to get a summons sometime soon.
Right. But the other thing that I would like to suggest to the committee is that, at, I don't know what the time frame or goal ultimately is of the committee, but that at some halfway point, for the purpose of the public and other board members who may be interested, then this committee would probably like to put together some formal presentation of what you have come up with to date, what suggestions have been made. Obviously, this is a committee that is going to make suggestions to its parent community. But at some point, we want to tell public where we are, that some work and some things are happening. And I can see by these minutes that some things are happening that I don't believe people know. And perhaps they should know that the questionnaire that's being sent out is being revised and looked at. And some of those things kind of, you know, keep it in discussion in the public eye. And it helps them, so when they do get that summons, they say, oh, yeah, we're working on this. Something is happening. So.
That smarmy editorial that the News Gazette ran about, you know, it's the individual's responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
From your point of view, we need a press conference at some point to let people know that it's more than just that editorial.
Exactly.
It's a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. But thank you all, really, for serving this committee.
So, I mean, that's a good point, because I know we talked about what the committee may be able to accomplish and what suggestions we have. We made that very, I guess, tangible suggestion that you were in agreement with. Was that something that was immediately going into effect, or what do we need to do with that? Should we wait as far as changing the questionnaire?
There are some parts of the questionnaire that I have to have in there. Of the where is it?
No, I think you have to about.
Let's see. The questionnaire is Are you a party to a lawsuit pending in this county? If they check yes, that means they're excused from jury service, because that's an automatic excusal. So I have to have that in there. I don't believe, and I think it's redundant to say, are you or a close family member on probation or parole? I don't think that's needed. Have you or a close family member ever been convicted of a criminal offense? That's not worded well, because people don't understand what that means, but I think that, or are you, I think we can take 10 and 11, combine it into one question that is, I think, less offensive. I think Mr. Thompson's description of how he would fill it out as opposed to how his mother would fill it out was very apt. What I do when people have checked that box, yes, I don't ask them for specifics. And the way I do it, it diffuses the attorneys, I think. The person that close family member that's been convicted of an offense, does it have anything to do with what we're dealing with here? More often than not, the answer is no. I don't get into the specifics. I don't get into who it is. But I think we can take 10 and 11 and 12. I don't think 12 needs to be in there at all. And I would like to present the committee with some proposed language on that. Now, the victim of a crime, the attorney's going to need to know that. And where you see that coming into play, domestic violence cases, it is hard to find people who have not had some experience with domestic violence, either a family member, themselves personally, in the workplace, sexual assault, those types of cases. And again, the way I phrase it is, did that have anything to do with what we're dealing with here? And the attorneys pretty well follow up on that, and they don't get personal, they don't ask specific questions, general questions. But I think some of these have to be in there. Otherwise, the attorneys are going to pop up with who knows what. And I would rather have, at least in our county, our judges diffusing it as best we can before they get into anything specific. And I'm not going to allow them to get into specifics anyway. But I think some of these have to be in there. So I would like to have the opportunity to amend this and present it possibly at our next meeting.
Okay, so you're thinking that you would take the questions. I don't know if I know exactly which questions we were dealing with, but we were talking about the questions
concerning prospective jurors or family members, criminal history, experience as a victim or party to a lawsuit, record of auto accidents, probation or parole. Again, some of that, the auto accidents, that would be in the civil trial. But again, I think we can cut out some of those questions, and I would like to be able to combine the prospective jurors, family members, criminal history, probation and parole. I think I can combine that into one.
So to make sure I'm clear in communicating this to and for Ms. Putman, I always say your name. Is it
Putman? Oh, it's Putman.
Putman.
Uh-huh.
Putman.
You can just say Danny if you want.
People who are not here. So number 8, I don't think we have any dispute about it. Anybody, nobody's really offended by number 8.
Which is what?
Have you or a close family member ever been involved in an automobile accident?
Right.
And that's for civil purposes.
That would be for civil juries.
Yeah. Are you a party to any lawsuit pending in this county? You're saying that's important. That has to be answered because you could be removed from jury duty.
Right. Yes.
And number 10, are you or a close family member currently charged with committing any criminal offense? Are you saying that one can be removed completely?
No, I want to combine that with charged with, convicted of, and probation and parole.
So you want to combine 10, 11, and 12 to have to be one question that is not a deterrent
Yes, I'm going to try to language it, try to phrase it in that respect. Mm-hmm. And then the victim of a crime, I think that's necessary.
Right, I can understand
given
that.
Some of the nature. Of
I guess my question would be trying to keep the, I guess, the spirit of what Patrick was introducing, mm-hmm. is that one of the things you said at the last meeting was that we could possibly allow those questions to be asked once the person actually gets in the box. Why can't we wait until they actually get in the box to ask those questions?
Well, we can do it, and now if a person doesn't check it, then I don't ask the question. So then all it does is means I'm asking every juror a question that they may have said no to. Let me try to put the three together into one
and see if
and let's discuss that.
Well, just for background, this whole format came from another county. It came from Peoria County when we first established the system. So it's not something that we came up with. We looked at these and said, this is the basic information they're using elsewhere. They're having some, you know, they had a problem with it. That's where this came from. It wasn't something that I sat down and came up with on our own.
And it's not in stone, and I think we can do a better job of getting the information that the attorneys are going to need and going to want before we get to that.
The wife of the day was
public. Oh, I was just thinking about that idea. I mean, there is, it is slightly different. In the, right now, the question is, are you on probation? It's either yes or no. But it's like, if you're on probation, if you're convicted of a crime, et cetera, it's one of three.
Right.
You don't know. Your answer, you may say yes, but you're not saying what's yes to.
Yeah.
So it is slightly different there. So he says yes, it's obviously got in trouble somehow, but didn't say exactly what you were in trouble for.
And the question about it is, do you have a family member or close friend to yourself, parole or probation? That gets very rarely checked because people don't know.
Yeah.
My brother got convicted. I don't know. He's not in prison. I don't know. So, I mean, that is very likely a question that we could completely do without.
And in some cases, you don't care about your brother.
Yeah. So, well, unless he was convicted of the same. Again, that's the question. Did that have anything to do with what we're dealing with here?
Yeah.
Is it the same type of crime that we're asking you to sit as a juror on?
So you're trying to. I understand that you and the attorneys are trying to see if any personal biases.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that we're trying to get through that, and we're trying to make sure. I guess from this committee's perspective, is to try to just to bring more people involved,
right.
Especially. So, I think what I hear you saying is that it's more time consuming if we wait until people are in the box to ask these questions, or it maybe gives them. Or it doesn't give as much information to the attorneys as they need to have?
Well, and if you spring it on them when they first come in the jury box and they haven't given any thought, at least if they've looked at the questionnaire, and again, I think we're going to rephrase it.
Mm-hmm.
If they've looked at the questionnaire, checked the box, they've at least given it some thought. Mm-hmm. But if you sit down and the first thing I say is, have you ever been convicted of a crime or a member of your family? They're going to look at me and go, well, you know. And I still get that now, occasionally. Especially about the victimization, if you've been a victim of a crime. Sometimes they fill it out a year or two, and they don't remember it. But I think it would be better to at least give them an opportunity to think about it as opposed to springing it on them when they sit there in the jury box in front of everybody else.
And so we'll just work on some language that you're supposing. Let me make sure I'm clear. But you are saying that you're thinking about 12, are you a close family member on probation or parole?
I don't think we need that.
At all. Okay.
I think we can do that.
So we're thinking about combining 10 and 11.
Charged with a crime or convicted of a crime.
Okay. Ms. Putman, then get her out. You go ahead, and then you can ask your question, please, Jim.
Well, I think my interest is in removing, if something is causing people to be turned off by this and not mm-hmm. respond, I want to remove from this form anything that would be a turnoff
mm-hmm.
to someone. Yet I understand that before 12 men and women and an alternate are selected, some of this information has to be brought out. Perhaps there could be a sentence saying that questions like these may be asked in court. The answers do not necessarily disqualify you from service. But I really 100% support your idea of letting people know, preparing folks for what they're going to face.
And that might not be a bad idea if I can condense three into one, do away with one and condense two into one, that might give us a little bit more space to put that as the last answer to these questions, in a, you know, however you want to phrase it, in and of itself, do not disqualify you, in, you know, but at least give them an idea that these questions might be asked.
Well, the very first time I saw this, Julia Reeves presented it to the then Justice and Social Services Committee, and she made it clear then that the answers to A are the qualifications.
Right.
And B are the exemptions.
Right.
These other things are more iffy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to the person receiving this in his or her mailbox might not pick up on that fact. And if we could do something to clarify, I'm repeating myself, that this is the kind of information that may be asked of you by an attorney for the prosecution or the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with what Jenny's saying, that if there is any kind of substantial number of people that don't turn them in because of the question, I would like to get rid of it altogether. And also the point that Pius made up, that or brought up, that if you put three things together and then you have a yes or no, that just makes it more complicated rather than... It doesn't help making three questions into one, I don't think. My question is, could you prepare people that they will have these questions in the orientation? Don't you have an hour when people have to find out what they're going to do when they're in jury duty, and you could explain what that question means to them and say you will be asked this when the judge, if you're called up, so that you wouldn't have this confusion that you're anticipating. You would still have a little more time involved by asking people, but if it's compensated for by getting, you know, 5% more people turning it in, it's worth it to me.
And we're making an assumption, and I agree. I want, however we're going to do it, we're going to change the language that we're talking about. We're making an assumption that causes people not to...
I understand. We don't know that for sure.
Well, we need, and again, eventually we need to get back to the people that aren't filling the questionnaires out. We got to find out who they are and why, and if it means conducting a survey, and then we would have some answers as to, okay,
great.
Is it economics? Is it illness? What is it? Why did you just ignore it and not send it in?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to work on the language. it could be softened.
Right. I just want to clarify what the issue really is here, and we have the numbers that say the 6%. African Americans are those chosen for the jury pools when they represent roughly 12% of the population. So we know, at least racially, a certain block of people who don't respond to jury questionnaires and summons. And so we know this factually, we know this, some of us know this anecdotally, and just I think in talking to people, one thing that we come across is that these kind of questions about members of people's families having criminal history, I think these are a glaring deterrent. I have when I teach my students at the U of I, if I have a classroom of 20, I ask them to raise their hand if they know somebody who is in prison. And a few of my white students will raise their hand, but I said almost invariably, all of my students of color, black or Mexican, raise their hands because they know somebody in their close family who is locked up, not just whether or not they've been convicted, but they know that they're locked up. And so because of the wide reach of the mushrooming of the criminal justice system in the past 20 years, more and more people of color have this experience. So I think that's specifically, again, what Patrick was addressing, and I think that's what we need to be concerned about. Good. So that will be then taken into consideration, of course, when the proposal of this language then, right, trying to see how, and then we'll kick that around
at
the next meeting.
And again, the bottom line is the question is going to be asked anyway. When they're sitting in the
at
jury
some
box.
Point.
Yeah, when they get to the jury box, the attorney's going to
so
ask that question.
Why does it matter if you have a brother who's doing 20 years for cocaine?
If you're trying a case involving cocaine... Yeah, I wouldn't keep you on the jury. I'd use a peremptory challenge to excuse you because...
As a judge or as a lawyer?
As a lawyer. No, it's a judge. It's that I don't.
It doesn't matter. It's a judge.
Right, but as an attorney, if I was the prosecutor, and you tell me your brother's doing 20 years for selling cocaine, and this guy in trial is for selling cocaine, they would probably use a peremptory challenge.
Because he would be sympathetic.
Right.
Maybe.
But that's the assumption anyway. I mean, we don't.
Well, right, and jury selection, it's not scientific at all. I mean, when I used to select juries, you know, you're looking at the person, you're trying to gauge their body language, how they answer the question, and then you're just making a call. I don't think I want this person on my jury. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm sorry, Joan. Had
I was going to say, even if you change the language, the word in the community is that when you get in the jury box, you are going to be asked about criminal history. Really, I think some public relations type activities need to be done so that people understand the reason for those questions and what it means to them personally. I mean, I've seen jurors, and they're so embarrassed sometimes when they have to admit that somebody in their family has been convicted of a crime.
Yeah, I mean, I think public relations and getting the word out about the questionnaires, it's important to turn them in, and if you have to do, you know, if we have to go and explain to people, you know, show the example and explain to people the different parts, I mean, getting the word out is the most important thing I think we can do as far as outreach, so that people understand that why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be a never-ending challenge because of our transit community and just. There are going to always be new people. But I have a completely non-controversial, non-sensitive suggestion regarding the question number 9 about whether you are a party to a lawsuit. If people knew that the answer to that question is one that could result in them being excused, they might like to know that.
Except they might check the box.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem.
Which would eliminate from even getting a summons.
And see, I can't. I don't have the time to punch in the number in the computer and say, I don't see any cases involving you.
I see. And there is that. There is that percentage of people who do not want to serve.
And I'll see that in jury selection. I'll get an individual who will say, you know, for a legitimate reason. Maybe because, or a woman, because she's been the victim of domestic violence. She cannot be a fair enough. And then I'll get the next juror who'll parrot the same response.
Uh-huh.
And they pick up on that. So that you do get a certain percentage that just flat out don't want to serve.
Okay.
So I think that's.
I understand.
Rather not tip them off.
Moving somewhat back into where our focus was as far as the spreadsheet. That we wanted, the address and stuff like that, discussion about that. Taking into consideration how we pull all these different components here, that the demographics that Brian was pointing out are clearly showing where the discrepancy or the lack of participation is. And one of the things that you spoke of, Roger, is for us to clarify the difference between a questionnaire and an actual summons.
Mm-hmm.
The spreadsheet that you sent around to us was an actual layout of the summons.
That's correct.
And we're discussing, this is a summons that we're looking at here, right? This is a questionnaire.
Yeah, there's two different things. But you have
This is the summons. Questionnaire.
The questionnaire has actual questions. This just tells you where you're going to, when you need to report,
like
and gives you your juror badge up in the corner and gives you some rules and basic information about your service, where you can park, that sort of thing.
So the summons is just, like you said, these are people who have already filled this out.
Correct.
Right? And
correct.
So what I noticed when I looked at the spreadsheet was that the addresses, being in the urban community of Champaign and Urbana for 25 years, there are certain streets that jump out to me, whether it's Bellefontaine and Tremont or something like that.
Right.
And when I just scrolled through there, it was a lot of Briarcliff, Stony Creek, blah, 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 those types. So my immediate reaction to then seeing Muhammad and Fisher and all, my immediate reaction is that, of course, this is the issue. And that either, is this sent in the mail? Because I can't remember if I filled mine out at the courthouse or something, but this is sent in the mail.
That's correct.
Okay. And so we have to make sure that people are actually getting the questionnaire.
Well, it comes back if it's not deliverable.
If it's not deliverable, it comes back.
We get
back.
It back. Right. And the ones we don't get back and are the ones that have been delivered to an appropriate address.
And they
for
just
some reason,
respond.
they just have money.
And they've already been filtered through a change of address. So if it goes to a place where there's on record with the post office that I've changed my address to, it gets shipped. It gets clean, that gets cleared up through the database, and if it gets shipped back to us,
you send it back out.
We
to
send
the
it back out to the correct address.
Do you also have the current list of those that were sent back for inappropriate addresses? Can you also produce that?
My Judge Aquinas asked me about that late this week. I'm going to try to get two things for our next meeting or in between now and our next meeting. If I can, I'm going to have some surgery next week, so I'm not sure how long I'm going to be in the office. But the first thing is I think that the focus needs, and you probably mentioned it yourself, but the focus really is on the questionnaires. So really what I would like to see is where the addresses were that the questionnaires were sent
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that's a good piece of information to have. The second one would be if it's a bad address or we get no response.
Okay.
I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know what that data looks like. I'm not a computer person who gets in and looks at that data regularly. So I was going to talk to our computer person today. He was not in the office today. My intent is to discuss it with him next week and see if that data is available. If it is, I will do my best to give it to all of you in the same format that you got it the last time, because as Pius said, it was 1,300 pages, and
right.
Questionnaires will make this list look small,
mm-hmm.
because obviously when you're summonsing 27,000, that's only a fraction of those who have gotten where questionnaires have been sent.
Because the questionnaire, I'm sorry, Bob, go ahead.
Isn't the group that we want to know about the difference between those two?
Absolutely.
Questionnaires sent out and the summonses?
Absolutely.
Because the summonses are sent to the people that sent the questionnaires in.
Correct.
So the ones that didn't send
and
in,
that's
we want to know where those people are.
And indicate that they
that's served. The point. We need to know why.
Well, then we can find out why. But
well, where these questionnaires have gone that have not been returned, and if need be, try to set up some form of a survey from individuals to explain to us
right.
and give us a better idea of what can we do that?
Yeah.
Or if we could even target those areas for either outreach, so that you make your outreach efforts even more effective if you can go to the actual areas
mm-hmm.
where there tends to be less representation and, you know, and focus on those areas. So when I get back to the office next week, my intent is to see what data is available for us to draw from and make that data available to all of us so that we can take a look at it and see. This information is useful, but to me, it is only one small piece of the puzzle, because not only these people indicated they were able to serve, people could have gotten questionnaires, sent them back, and indicated for whatever reason that they couldn't serve.
Mm-hmm.
Either they didn't meet one of the three requirements, or they ended up being, eventually excused from jury service or what have you, or they were removed. So in reality, the more important data from my perspective is let's look at where the questionnaires went, where the addresses are that they did not send them back, if that data is captured, look at that information as far as what the reasons were and that sort of thing. All of the questionnaires that we get back are scanned into our computer system. So if we got them back at all, whether they're bad addresses or whether they're requesting an excuse, we have access to that information. My question for our computer person is, do we have
the
addresses for the people mm-hmm. who did not send it back? And as soon as I can find out that information, I will present that in some form to the committee.
And remember Mr. Thompson's suggestion a couple of meetings ago that can't we just target various segments of the community and send out questionnaires, because it's not the questionnaire that's random, it's the selection of the people who send the questionnaires in.
Right.
And I think that may be your fallback.
You may have to take a look at that.
And I think
the questionnaire just has to, but if you send the questionnaire out, it does have to be, I'm asking, I don't know, to a person who is either a registered voter, or can we just say, look, here's here's a population, here's a an area, a community that we know is heavily African American. We're going to send a questionnaire to every single house over there.
Well, we would need a name and an address, but yeah, I think that was his suggestion, and
I believe that the statute says that the jury pool is to be made up of the information from the either driver's license / ID cards or registered voters. So that's something we have control over. I noticed that in some of your suggestions, you mentioned adding people who are willing to serve. Well, that doesn't come from those two places. You can't just punch that in there.
But could we not get from the driver's license or ID cards a list of addresses in these areas of the city that we want to target? Mm-hmm. Then we're technically using mm-hmm. that base. Mm-hmm. We're inundating a segment of the community with questionnaires. If we get more back, they go into the pool. And that's where that's the randomness. Then that's where it's once we get them into the pool. I think,
we mentioned that. I mentioned that to Paula Hannaford Agra, who did the, and she indicated that you have to be very careful about that sort of thing, because anytime you deviate from a strict random selection, she feels that it could be somewhat problematic. I will address that further with her and maybe get some information. In addition, I may contact the Secretary of State's office, who provides us with this information, the raw data, and see if any other counties are doing that, targeting special areas, or if they've ever had such a request, or if they see any problem with doing so, because they're the ones who actually provide us with the data.
Barbara and Jenny.
Okay. So I'm going to have to rely on the memory of people who were at our June meeting to say whether or not I'm saying this correctly. I'm almost positive that Professors Beckett and Gonsalves stated at our last meeting that we were not limited to registered voters and folks who've got
yes, they did say that.
State ID.
With all due respect, I think they might be wrong.
Okay. I was very surprised when Steve and Tina said that, because you have told me something else, but they said it very matter-of-factly, didn't they?
Yeah, they said it three times.
I think the suggestion is to improve upon what we have is to expand the list from
legislature and get that.
Right, and you're right. That would be a better way to do it, but I think the legislation has to be approved. I still think if we were able to get addresses, names and addresses of driver's license, ID cards, and voters in various neighborhoods, and we use that specific list to target neighborhoods just with the questionnaire, I don't think that makes it less than random once we put these people in the pool. Because once they're in the pool, there's no guarantee they're going to get selected, but at least I got more of them in the pool.
Well, the thing that we all, you know, and I think that's a great idea, and if we can get it approved, that would be great. But obviously the thing that Judge DeFonso doesn't want to happen, and really none of us want to have happen, is for us to take a step like targeting certain areas, which is great, and pick those people, and then someone who didn't like the result in the trial raised that as an issue. On appeal, that somehow the jury was improperly impaneled because the pool was improper, and then undo work that had already been done. So we want to make sure that when we do things that aren't something that's normally or conventionally done, that it will still conform to everything, because we want to make sure that we don't go through a lot of work to have cases undone later on because of objection to the pool.
Right.
Well, of course, there could also be objections that there are black defendants tried by all white juries. That could be the same contest as been in the past. I just wanted to ask specifically with what was mentioned in my notes from the June meeting, was that there are Medicaid rolls, unemployment rolls,
mm-hmm.
income tax return mm-hmm. Reports, that these are other kinds of lists generated for federal government or state government that could possibly used in supplements of the existing lists. Is that possible?
Legislation has to change then.
Yeah.
We have to be told that we can, and it would make for a more diverse group, obviously. But people in Springfield have to give us that opportunity.
Okay. I want Aaron to.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to alienate anyone who's been part of our effort since we convened. So I don't. But I'm so intrigued by the sureness with which Tina and Steve Beckett spoke. Would anyone think it would be bad for me to just send an inquiry to both of them?
How about if we provide you with the legislation?
Okay.
Let's do it that way first.
Okay. So, and what is that statute?
I don't have citation off the top of my head.
Okay. Let's see. If either one of you could you send it to everybody on the mailing, on our mailing list or our email list?
Statute. I should be able to.
Okay.
Can you look in there? Because I may.
I might have it in here.
I may have. It would be in the other folder. I think I might have. I pulled a lot of the jury statutes when we started this and put them as reference, but I didn't bring my copy tonight.
So, trying to get a visual, I really work better with pictures. But the question there, the beginning of this process, is from a logical conclusion standpoint, state of technology and the way it's almost impossible for the average citizen to not have either a state ID or a driver's license. I mean, it's almost impossible for you to cash any sort of checks to do anything without at least a state ID. You know, so some people may not have a driver's license, but I'm just trying to narrow down. I'm doing my Sudoku stuff here. You gotta play Sudoku.
Mm-hmm.
I'm narrowing down, and I'm saying that from what I can see, the numbers of people who are not either registered voters, have driver's license or state ID, I think are going to be minimal in comparison to those who actually just don't return the questionnaire, or don't fill out the questionnaire. And I think, from the standpoint of speaking as, look where I am, the only black person here. Wow, it's amazing. Well, I'm folks at. But from an African American standpoint, and being just taking all the variables that run through my mind and back to especially before I became more actively involved in governmental issues. This questionnaire, when it came in the mail and I saw that it was something to do with jury duty or whatever, I just threw it away. I don't even know if I even read it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know if it was the questions that made me say, oh, no, I'm not filling this out. I'm going to throw this away. I think it was just the summons or the questionnaire itself based upon my attitude towards the criminal justice system. So the outreach, my question is more along, how do we do that? What sort of resources are available? How do we do a continuous outreach to go along with a continuous jury term or something like that that really allows us to get information to the black community in particular about the importance of serving. And so that's one of the things that I think that those are the type of proposals I think we could get out quickly to the superintendents and stuff like that, and so if they can target the schools and the lower income or the black population within the schools. I don't know what sort of things, I don't know how it works as far as the Medicaid or link cards and all that kind of different stuff like that, where we're seeing low-income people and a lot. Can that be a part of, could we do something there that talks about serving on a jury term? What sort of outreach can be done in these places where we know largely African-American low-income people who are not receiving this, or who are looking at this information maybe saying, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, Aaron, I'm going to be such a broken record because this is stuff that we said going back to one day Steve Beckett and I were guests on your Higher Ground posters, public service announcements, an attractive brochure that can be provided at a table at community events. say, at Douglas Park or Reunion Day. Just the visual aids, the audio aids, and I've just said this to you so many times because I really do admire what you do with the spoken arts. You know, a rap song, something, you know, that people hear on the radio, and just to start, oh, it's something, as Matt Gladney calls it, to heighten the coolness factor. And then we talked about, I know Steve Beckett seemed a little bit disappointed that only from three schools did the social studies teachers respond to his invitation to participate in a mock court experience. But let's start building on those teachers who said yes and find out how we can get into more of the social studies classes. You had talked about the beautiful video that you provided, but styling it more for an audience maybe with an African American narrator, or you know, like, and if we made our own video, that would be something that a very busy social studies teacher could use in his or her class. Like if we basically create the lesson plan for them, that's less that they would have to do.
Well, see, that was my question. When we come up with these ideas, what I don't know now is who do we hand this to? So, Pius, in a situation like this, is this something that staff can take and move on and start to begin to assemble the correct people? I mean, what do we do?
Well, it's going to depend on just some of them. That Judge DePonis and Roger Holland, they can start moving about this area, like changing the questionnaire.
Right.
The planning board has nothing to do with that. If there's something the kind of board can do, then...
Well, let's say we want to take that video that we show the jurors, that orientation video, and we want to change it so that it's more adaptable for either high school students or various segments of the community.
Mm-hmm.
We can figure out when we produce that ourselves. We can do one that you want to put together. Mm-hmm. We can do the exact same thing with different people.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean that can be done, and all we just have to figure out what your script is and where you're going to do it.
Okay. And so you guys decided right at the.
We can do it at the courthouse.
The courthouse, right?
Sure.
Well, see, I'm thinking. I know this committee is kind of supposed to be coming up with suggestions, or proposals, or whatever. But it sounds like, because certainly I would love to be in something like that, and I can think
well,
of.
Well, I figured you would be the person doing it.
Okay.
That's fine. We can do that. You just have to, you know, we have to put the script together, mm-hmm. set up a time, and film it. We filmed that orientation video.
Sure, we can make that happen.
Yeah. So that's something we can do. I mean, other things I don't know.
That's why I think that. We get to our minutes and pull off the things that actually suggest it, like what Jen has in these minutes. And other minutes, too, and then we say, what can we do with this?
Now, is there public outreach resources? I know everybody's under constraints, whatever. When I think about a rap song, creating this cool factor, or really dealing with trying to dispel these myths around the criminal justice system, or just make some changes, I think of WBCP,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, WBCP isn't free. So public service announcements on BCP, they might get read once. PSAs are not going to happen. You might read them on WEFT, but that's not reaching the target population. WBCP is going to reach that target population. And so I'm thinking, is there an outreach budget that the county has? Or does it fit into any other particular realm? I mean, it's not a whole lot of money, you know, but, you know, doing some prime time segments, if it just... You know, I have a couple of individuals who are into rap, who do what we call conscious rap. We're very good. So if we had nice tracks, nice beat behind it, and it ran twice a day for 3 months, it would catch on in the community, and it would be something that would be a talking piece.
Can you give me
a quote or something on that? Okay.
We have very, very little.
I understand. I just wanted to throw it out there.
You know, this meeting here is unique in that the attendance is so small. We've had, you know, we're just a fraction of our full self here. But if all of our members were here, I'm thinking Bill Brown would be the one who'd say, I'm going to go to the ACLU and get some money from the board of the ACLU. Mm-hmm. Or Joan Miller will say, I'm going to go to the League of Women Voters and we'll see if we could get $500 to underwrite an ad. Or if Steve Beck and Tina were here, they'd say, we're going to go to the Bar Association and see if someone, you know, but I don't, I don't think there's, when you say who's going to make it happen, it's the people sitting around this table who's going to make it happen.
The Bar Association, that's good. You shake the lawyers down for some of that. No, I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do outreach type things. They would help. I'm sure they would help.
But I'd like to. If you can get us some quotes,
I would.
Let's see how much we're talking about.
But we just need a solid proposal to say this is how much money we need, and this is what the money needs. This is what you can do with it. But I was thinking that maybe we could have a competition and ask people to create a rap or an ad, and give a money prize to the best one. And then you get more people involved and they're competing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in order for a person to be inspired to create that consciousness wrap, they have to know what the issues are. They have to know why, for a jury of your peer, you got to be there, answer the summons, show up. And they don't know that yet, so we have to do the education.
You in the background doing a hook.
Yeah, but I see. I think
you have the hook going right now.
I think if you did the public service announcements first, and you know got that message out, and then we can take it from there. But yeah, I'd like to know what kind of ballpark figures we're talking about. Bar Association is a good group to hit up. They should be.
And there are plenty of us that I was the president of Bar Association not too long ago. And, you know, we know the president of the Bar Association, so, I mean, there are individuals that we can contact. And, in fact, once we figure out the exact numbers, they have regular meetings, and, you know, maybe the chair of the committee can go and they can pitch to them, indicating, you know, this is what we're doing, this is how much it costs, and that sort of thing, and I'm sure that they would be willing to work with us on this.
Okay. And then,
I'm sorry, John.
What about, too, I'm talking at churches, you know, or even making a video and showing, you know, like my experience on a jury, because that's what people don't know. What you know, what do they do to you when you go there? I mean, do they look up your record or something?
I spoke with the president of the Ministers Alliance local, and I spoke to several of the pastors, and I told them that at some point we would invite them to a meeting and see how this can become incorporated into maybe a every other Sunday or some sort of way that it's because I don't want to splash in the pan. I'm talking about continuous.
Did a video for the jury orientation, mm-hmm. and we cut any number of discs, mm-hmm. would they be willing to play it?
Right. That's so.
Yeah.
I think that I don't know about all of them, but that's why I think if we brought them into the room. Then we can talk to them about it. They say yes on the surface. Oh, yes, you're weird. But, you know, how did it fit into their framework and format is the real question. You know, some of them definitely would. And we want, of course, you know, Bishop Gwynn and Pastor Tatum, Reverend Savage. Those are the three big churches where you're going to, you know, people are coming there sometimes twice a day. You know, and how they're going to fit that.
And they're involved in the community.
And they're involved in the community. So if we did something... I don't know how they would fit something like that in other than an announcement in their actual Sunday service. But there could be something during the week there's some videos being shown where we can come in or they can start to generate some interest and some understanding about what's going on. And my thing is that if they go to school and they're getting it, and I'm talking about students in particular, if they go to school, they're getting it. If they go to church, they're getting it and their parents are getting it. It's playing on the radio and they're seeing it, you know, seeing it like that. I think everywhere they go, they're going to be hit with some sort of real understanding. I just want to make sure we're putting out clear messages. Because a lot of times one thing is said and by the time it gets back to Pius, you know, a week later, it's all a rumor now. It has no truth in it. So,
well, but I think you go to the schools and even the kids who obviously aren't old enough to be on jury, they can go home and say, Mommy, Daddy,
exactly.
Have you ever been on jury duty and get them talking about it? And, you know, I mean, that's...
It becomes part of the conversation.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking about all these things and I'm saying, what is the direction? Who do we turn this stuff over to? Do we have to wait until we say, okay, this committee is done and then we just all of a sudden...
I think periodically we collect all our suggestions and we say, okay, we can send these out there. Others
can... Yeah, there are some things we can do in relatively short order. And the and that doesn't mean the committee has the meetings have to stop. Mm-hmm. We can accomplish things as we go.
And we can, you can always give an update.
Sure.
At a county board meeting, or have, you can go, all of us can go or whatever, and say, this is what we've been working on, these are the things that we're doing, this is what the areas we're exploring, and for 2 minutes, give somebody an update, and that way they know that this is the direction the committee's heading.
Well, I'll make a suggestion to Matt Gladney to provide these minutes to the members of the Justice and Social Services Committee. So that they'll know what's going on, and that way, every member of the county board sees all of the committee's agenda materials. Do you think that Matt, there would be any reason that Matt wouldn't want to?
Oh, I think we should actually. It's sort of a creation of the Justice.
Right. Now, and also, it's no secret that of community groups in Champaign County, the League of Women Voters and the county chapter of the ACLU are supportive of our work. Mm-hmm. And I think, Joan, if you could make regular reports to. Well, you chair the committee, the Justice Committee.
I am a committee of one.
make regular reports to the league meets at least once a month.
The league considered this a very important committee. And what I was going to talk to Aaron about, I was going to ask him if he would talk at one of our general meetings in the fall about the committee.
Yeah.
And Bill and I are both members of the local chapter of the ACLU. And I think Bill seemed a little bit more confident than I about getting some money, but he is such a good statistician. I think he's the person who wanted to do the follow-up focus groups to find out why people weren't responding. And he was talking about getting some money to compensate people for the time that they would spend answering follow-up questions. And he seemed to have no reservations about coming up with the money. Hmm. And so I thought that was good. If he could get money to underwrite the feedback survey, maybe there's money to underwrite public service announcements.
Well, yes. Bill Brown also said to me last time that he does mapping for Hagen.
Right.
So, he was eager to put addresses on map.
That's what I was hoping that you guys, because you helped me today, because I was like, the summons, something wasn't clicking right. You helped me understand that it's this questionnaire that we really need to understand.
Right.
So whatever information that you said you could gather for us, maybe if you and Bill could work more.
Well, I will send the spreadsheet out to everybody who's on the list,
okay.
Or at least send it to you, and then you can distribute it or however we do it.
No, just send it to everybody.
Right, I'll send it to everybody, and then he can take it. And the reason I put it in the spreadsheet was just like I said, printing it, there was no way. And so we tried to condense it as much as we could. So, we're also trying to be very cognizant of people's privacy and not having their names. So, mm-hmm. We're doing the best we can. And again, I'll give you whatever information I can get.
But you're going to try to get that group that's in between the summons and the
I'm gonna try to get all of the data so you can look at everything.
Right.
So as much information as we have, the better off we are. So if I can get the list that did respond to the questionnaires, obviously the summonses are here, and then also get the ones who didn't respond, that's gonna be the more information and the better breakdown we have, the better we're gonna be.
I do think the Bar Association will be a resource.
Okay.
Yes. What do folks think about, at this point, letting especially Tina and Steve Beckett know that we have the 5 years' worth of addresses? Because it became very clear to me as I was preparing these minutes, and Tina wanted it well known that they have already proposed a study that would correlate the addresses with the census tracts, and that as it says that they have not been successful in securing funding for the study, but they very much want to see this done. And maybe, oh God, I hate to bring up our poor challenged law school right now, but maybe because this is a project of the College of Law, and maybe that would be another.
For the record, I went to Southern Illinois University School of Law, so I
but again,
the old-fashioned way.
But I think our emphasis has to be on those questionnaires,
right.
And why aren't they returned?
Okay.
Where the summonses go, that's the product of the questionnaires.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we have to figure out why people aren't returning them. And if it gets to the point where we can identify individuals,
uh-huh.
and Talk to them.
Right.
Dispel the myths.
Right, right.
Get past the whatever it is that's causing
it. What is it we need to do to make this
right.
work?
Okay. Right.
Barbara? I wanted to ask why we need to know this biographical information on the back. Section D, your date of birth, marital status, education, occupation. Is that really important to get on the questionnaire?
The occupation, yeah. And the education, I don't think that's necessary.
Because that's kind of forbidding to people that don't have a lot of education. Or
some civil cases. I mean, the reason, the whole basis of these questions is because attorneys are going to ask that. In a civil case, they're going to ask if it's somehow relevant to what they're doing, the person's education level or whatever. And like we've said with the other topics, if we give them a heads up, get the information from them in advance. And Judge Zapanas always asks, if someone marks a yes on whatever question, I've heard say, is this, in, you know, without getting into any of the specifics, is there any way, or is this what happened to you going to affect your ability to be fair and impartial in this particular case?
I understand that, but why can't that take place on site when they're there? I mean, this questionnaire is forbidding to me.
Well, they don't.
With two graduate degrees.
The attorneys,
I hate to fill out forms, and it looks complicated. And the more I look at it, it's still complicated.
The attorneys don't ask. The only question they ask on the biographical information is employment. If a person, let's say, a registered nurse, and it's a domestic violence case, have you ever worked in the emergency room? Have you ever treated members, victims of? So the employer an occupation, and your spouse's occupation, education. I'm not sure that's necessary. Marital status.
Well, I'm just concerned with simplifying it because
right.
I used to teach community college for a living, and I taught writing, reading, and the only people taking reading in community college are people who don't read at the college level, which is about half the people that go to community college, at least. And some of them read at the fifth grade level. They're not going to be able to understand this. And just because they don't read well does not mean they are stupid. In fact, sometimes people who don't read well have fantastic hearing, listening abilities to gather information orally that I don't have.
Well, it doesn't mean that they would be good jurors. I mean,
no, that's what I'm trying to say.
Can you see any reason why we have education on here?
It's
right?
Just very kind of college.
I think that whole section is more other than what you said.
I
about
mean, when if I'm a lawyer for the defense, in fact, I do want to know the kind of magazines that the prospective jurors read.
Right, and we have attorneys that ask that.
What fraternal, sororal
exactly.
groups they belong to.
Where do you get your information? Where do you get your news?
And some attorneys may want to target. Some attorneys want more educated people on their juries, or maybe they don't want highly educated people on juries for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Strategically. So I think that that's probably where that information comes from. Whether it needs to be on the questionnaire. Is a completely legitimate.
Yeah. But if a person says I'm a college professor, you're going to figure out what their educational background is.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean that a person who's a bricklayer doesn't have a college degree. But
the voir dires I've sat through, they always ask everybody what their occupation is.
Right.
Sure.
As part of the voir dire, so you don't have to have that. That's my argument.
I think that there's the proposal. Is being considered, certainly. I mean, because I think we have the two individuals in here who have the authority to make the changes, right? I mean, it's basically up to you guys. Is that correct?
Everything is up to the presiding judge.
I think
it's Friday night happy hour, Judge.
Being considered, and we can talk about it a little bit more because we got about 10 minutes left before we close this meeting. Pius, you wanted to?
We'll talk about here. Everything on that questionnaire. All the information right is to the shortcuts, right?
Right.
So the question is like the education, and you two have answered, is it really a shortcut or not? How often is it used? If it's asked a lot, well, then it is a shortcut. If it's not asked very often, it's not very important, then it's not a shortcut. I mean, we have to really rely on the two of you.
Again, I don't know that I've ever had. If a person says, I'm a university professor, question is, in what field?
Yeah.
But if you give your employment, that pretty much explains that. And I don't know that I've ever gotten into.
So education up meant something's not important.
If it is, the attorney can ask it. And the attorney can ask it.
Yeah.
But the reason to ask marital status, that's to get into, okay, you're married, and what does your husband do?
Well, that's part of the question.
Right, that's part of it.
Uh-huh. And that question is asked by the attorneys.
Right. So it could be spouse or a partner, right? Because think of all the people who live together. And
sure.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be changed right off the bat.
Can't be there. The last thing that I would like us to think about, from my perspective anyway, is that I remember when I filled this questionnaire out and I told them when was going to be the best time for me to serve.
Mm-hmm.
That brings me to a question around the actual randomness of this. Because if you're telling me that the best time for you to serve, Aaron, is during the summer or whatever mm-hmm. time it was that I marked, and then you send me an actual summons that fits that.
Right.
It's a little, I don't know how random.
But the way that you got there, though, was random, though. I mean, you're right that we're targeting a specific time period, but otherwise we would lose you all. We could lose you all together. If you were a farmer, for example, where I grew up, these people are in the fields from, you know, April to October, and that's a bad time for them. They're not going to be there.
Right.
So I mean, so you're right to a degree that it takes away some of the timing of when they serve, mm-hmm. but that they're in the pool and that they're going to receive a summons has already really been established. It's just,
okay, so that gives me some actual education behind this, because the reason why I chose the word randomness was because if I mark April and then I get a summons in April, to a person who's not privy to this in-depth conversation, that's saying, you picked me in April. But right. What you just said to me is that my name was rolled and it came up. Okay, see, that's what I'm trying to understand. So my name's on one of those three things got me randomly picked. And then I was sent a questionnaire because I was randomly chosen by the computer.
Right. Correct. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then, so I send this back.
April.
Right.
And so then I say April, and you guys say, okay, well, he was already chosen out of the pool. He was already randomly chosen. Now we're just going to target what's best for him.
Right.
That's what the targeting actually.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand that.
And it's exactly right, like we do with a teacher. You know, summers are going to be better for them because that's when they're not in class. So, again, it's more of a, you know, we're trying to include people. Get people to come in, mm-hmm. and if they say, no, I can never do it because I'm a farmer, well, yeah, you can, then November, December, January, mm-hmm. So that's...
But the randomness took place before they ever got
exactly
in.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly
right. Okay. Well, what I have, I guess we're going to move to other... And there's any other business? Brian and then Jenny.
Go ahead, Brian.
I just want to mention that we need to slate some kind of time for Paula Hangerford-Agar to give us a... brief summary of her.
Sure, you're right, absolutely right. I will attempt to talk to Paula, and again, it'll probably be by telephone, so we'll have to go somewhere where we can have the ability to do a teleconference. I don't know that we can do it in this room or what have you, because there's no budget to bring her from Williamsburg here.
We can do it certainly next door.
Okay. That would be fine, and I can call Paula and ask her if she would be willing to do it. She said she would be. She said that before this all started, she would be willing to meet that way with us. And so it also might be great to make sure that Mr. Brown, I think, is here at that time, because they sort of speak the same language, much more so than I do with the statistical stuff, and I'm sure he has questions that she can answer best directly. So. I won't mention it to her. I'm not sure what her schedule is. She is the director of their operation. So, but I'm really thankful that she was willing to do it and come up with funds on her own out of their budget to do the study for us. So,
so you'll get back with us and let us know what's going on with that.
Okay. I will.
I didn't know that you have us limited to how we're supposed to finish our business by a certain time, so I have to talk fast.
Oh, okay. I thought everybody was asking everybody.
Well, I'm late for a day already, but that's okay.
No, but I'm so sorry that so many of our members aren't here. Would anyone object to me making a very, very, as a secretary, a very tactful follow-up to ask, is this a bad meeting time? Would they, to ask, will people be able to attend the next meeting? Because...
Everyone's participation is important. And we're, now, I know you were moving last time. I'm not.
Well, I didn't even.
Patricia Avery's email bounced on me.
Yeah.
And you can even tell them that we're trying to set up this Paula Hannaford Agor meeting, and
right.
that, you know,
okay.
that might
How about
be
How about if I do that? I'll send a message to everyone to ask you if they could attend the next meeting.
When is the next meeting?
The 24th.
2 weeks. July 24th.
Be gone.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be it'll be a little iffy for me. I'm having some surgery next week, and I'm not. There's only 2 weeks,
okay,
so
maybe
I'm
July
not
24th
sure.
would not be a good time to try to pencil in Paula.
Right. I think maybe we're looking at August, and again, I don't know what her schedule is like. So I will talk to her.
Well, before I give up the floor, since Aaron recognized me, Judge, here's while you're doing the rewriting of this,
mm-hmm.
here's a suggestion that I've offered before. A very nice letter on attractive letterhead stationery.
That goes along with
this,
the, yes.
Thanking people for their contribution and reinforcing that this is the only way we have justice. This is that without this, we won't have justice.
Well, that's what I tell the jurors. I said,
right.
The system does not function,
right.
will not function,
right.
can't function unless we have citizens
right.
ready, willing, and able to come in and serve as jurors.
To get responses to this,
okay.
broad response.
Absolutely.
I will draft a letter and bring it in and let everybody have access to it, and we'll see what we come up with.
Any other business? So the proposed next meeting is July 24th. This was actually a suggestion that was made by Ms. Jenny Putman.
The idea is to...
You know, make sure that we were moving some stuff along. And I really thought this was very productive as far as targeting some things that can actually be done. I'll be happy to come in, it doesn't matter, whenever, and actually begin shooting the video, educate myself about that.
One of the things I wrote down for my notes is put a script together so that you can look at it and see how you want to phrase it what it is we try to highlight.
And I will get started on some of the stuff next week, and again, it'll have to be Monday, and then I'll get back to it as soon as I get back.
And then you're going to get the numbers, the money for public service and others.
And no one objects to me letting Tina and Steve know that we've been provided this data and that we're interested in doing some of the work that Tina indicated that she wanted to correlate the math with this. So they're just, because they might have already begun the steps of, I mean, according to what she said, they had already proposed a study. So we might be recreating the wheel here if they've already got something.
I don't know where they would have gotten their data other than from us.
I'm not sure the data came.
And I don't I don't remember a request is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So it may be that they haven't started yet. But
Okay.
So I guess we're clear on the next meeting date, time, and everything, and public participation. Who was that lady that was here earlier? She left.
She seemed familiar. Like I knew her from somewhere.
So I guess motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Moved by Mr. Holland, second by Mr. DeFinis. This meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Is it 7?
It is.